And now, young Widow Brown. Ellen Brown's fiancé, Dr. Anthony Loring, has changed his mind concerning Dr. Allison Shaw, the lovely young woman surgeon who has saved Ellen's life, and agreed to put Allison on the staff of Health Center Hospital. And now, as he leaves Ellen's living room, Anthony is saying,
"Don't look so self-satisfied, Ellen, just because you won a victory."
"Well, I didn't win it, Anthony. You did. Your better self won the victory, dear."
"And my worse self will be kicking my better self for it shortly, I'm sure."
You'll tell Allison tonight that you'll give her a job at Health Center Hospital, won't you, dear? She's with Olivia McAvoy now, worrying about it."
"Yeah, I'll tell her. But if I could get a word in edgewise about a fairly important subject, dear."
"What, Anthony?"
"You and the children. Don't overdo."
"Oh, I'll behave. Maureen Temple's going to bring the children here later on when I'm settled for bed. My Hawkins is going to spend the next few nights with me, and I promise that I will be very helpless and demanding."
"Well, you'll try, I suppose. Good night, dear. It's awfully good to be saying good night to you here again, my sweet. Awfully good."
"Oh, I know. I feel that, too."
"See you tomorrow. Go to bed like a good girl. Get lots of rest."
"I will. And you'll see Allison now, tonight?"
"Of course. Don't worry about it. I'll see her."
"And be pleasant, darling. Don't act as though you've been railroaded into the decision, please."
"I won't. Bye, darling."
"Bye."
And a little later, Anthony walks through the grounds of Health Center Hospital looking for Dr. Allison Shaw. And now, finding her sitting on a bench beneath one of the big elms that line the driveway, he says,
"Hello there, Allison. You're not easy to find in the dark."
"Oh, hello, Anthony."
"I've embarrassed several couples by peering at them and discovering they weren't you."
"This is Lover's Lane, I gather."
"Yes, I worry about it. All our nurses have their dates here and get engaged and then leave. I think we should cut down the elms, remove romance from the premises."
"Oh, don't, Anthony. You'd lose your training school."
"Lily McElroy told me you said you were going for a walk around the grounds. How long have you been sitting here?"
"Long enough."
"How do you mean?"
"Long enough to give myself a thorough lecture on what not to do."
"For instance?"
"Well, I told myself to stop whining, for example. I told myself that I've behaved very badly to you and Ellen, and I'm quite ashamed. I'm withdrawing my application for a job here at the hospital, Anthony. I should never have started it. I'm truly sorry."
"That's great."
"I think possibly the strain of my operating on Ellen was a little more than I realized. There was so much emotional content to the entire situation."
"No one would have known you were under a strain."
"Well, you see what happened. When I knew Ellen was going to be all right, I just floundered all over the place and put both you and Ellen in a very awkward situation."
"Look here.
You both are grateful to me because Ellen's all right. And then I turn around and ask a favor, which because you're grateful, you have to grant even though you don't want to. Well, I'm sorry about it, so I take it back."
"You can't, Allison. I've already made my decision. The job is yours."
"I don't want it. Thank you."
"Now look, my dear, I'm not going back to Ellen and tell her that. She'd be positive that I'd done something wrong. I'd made you the offer in not the right way."
"You're both much too understanding of each other for Ellen to think anything of this sort, Anthony."
"Well, perhaps that's so, but also with this. We do need you. I'll confess, as an administrator, I'm not enthusiastic about women doctors. That's a personal prejudice, however, which I try to overcome in the face of superior ability, which you definitely have. Allison, I invite you quite humbly to work here. We can use you. We need someone like you. I'm not going to coax you, however. That I won't do."
"I won't be coy about it, if that's what you'll say, Doc. All right. I'll take the job. Thank you."
"You're welcome. There's one thing that we need to discuss, however."
"I should imagine there'd be anything."
"Well, yes. Yes, those we can take care of in the office tomorrow. This particular matter is personal."
"Oh?"
"As chief of the hospital here, I'm responsible for its prestige in many aspects. Besides the ordinary responsibilities of the hospital, there's a less tangible responsibility, however."
"The personal behavior of your staff. Their moral attitudes, in other words."
"Precisely."
"I'm quite moral."
"Oh, I'm sure of that. This is an extremely awkward conversation. I'm being very clumsy about it."
You're thinking about the man who telephoned. Jim Morrison, aren't you?"
"Yes."
"I don't think he'll come here. Jim's an alcoholic. A hopeless one. I think all he'll do is telephone occasionally, But if he doesn't know definitely that I'm staying here, why...
Are you married to him?
No.
Has he any claim on you at all?
No. No. He has no claim on me.
If he does show up, if he is bothersome...
I'll leave Simpson's. Well, I'd have to. Women doctors have to be like Caesar's wife. But that's right, it wouldn't do at all. He won't come, though.
Well, I suppose we can wait and see. There's nothing to be alarmed about, I'm sure. I merely bring the whole thing up because I'm sure you understand the need for decorum, for discretion.
Yes, I understand it, Anthony.
All right, that's all. Would you like to go back now?
Yes. I think I'll call Dr. Humphreys. He'll be glad to know I'm settled.
He's a great old man, Allison.
Yes. If he's going to retire, I'll have to learn to be independent, I guess. I'm not starting very well.
You'll be all right.
I'm afraid I have to cling to people and situations. The brave thing to do would be to get out of here now, go to Chicago or to New York, branch out for myself.
Well, you can only do things like that in steps, Allison. You probably will do that. You were with the old man a long time.
They've been father and mother to me. Do you know, Mrs. Humphreys, Eleanor Humphreys is wonderful. Gentle and lovely, sympathetic and kind. She'll take very good care of him, I'm sure.
Good.
They're devoted to each other. Seems sweet. She waits for him at the end of the day always, and they sit on the porch there at the lake. Of course, now, since he's had the stroke, he's with her all the time.
And at the lake, on the porch of their cottage, Dr. and Mrs. Humphreys are talking about Allison.
You haven't heard from Dr. Anthony Loring about Allison, have you, George, dear?
No, but a hospital chief doesn't make up his mind that quickly, Eleanor. I asked Loring to give Allison a berth if he had one, since I'm not going back to active practice for a while. That's asking a great deal of a man.
Why didn't you want Allison to come along with us?
Why should she waste her time here because I am an old man with a withered arm now, Eleanor?
Now, George, stop feeling sorry for yourself. You know perfectly well you'll be back in harness next year.
You won't indulge me in any drama about myself, would you?
No. It's bad luck to pretend you're worse off than you are, and you know it. All this means is that the Lord found a way to make you take a vacation.
Perhaps you're right. I wish I hadn't let Jim Morrison know that Allison was there.
I wish you hadn't, too.
I wonder what she ever saw in that man. Oh, women with brains. They appall me sometimes with their choice of men.
You're implying either that I have no brains or that I'm a brilliant exception to the rule.
The exception always.
Wherever Allison goes, she can be destroyed by that man, George.
Yes.
Will you ever forget the wedding? He was drunk. So drunk. And she was so maternal. I don't think I ever cried harder at a wedding.
You certainly didn't.
You wanted to cry. You sat up half that night fretting about her.
Well, she's free of him now. If he would only let her alone and stop playing on her ridiculous sense of duty.
He'll come back to destroy her happiness. You wait. She'll listen to him sob out his remorse. She'll believe him. She'll help him. He should be put away.
He's sick and poisoned, Eleanor. I can only hope he won't follow her to Simpsonville. I can only hope that he doesn't wreck her good luck there.
George, do you think that you should warn Dr. Loring? Is it quite fair for him, for you not to tell him all about Jim?
Well, I'll have to think that one through, Eleanor.
I wonder what kind of friends Allison will make there in that little town. This girl, she went to operate on. Dr. Loring's fiancée. I wonder what she's like. I hope she'll be a friend to Allison.
Loring is a good person. His fiancée should be all right.
Perhaps we could go there when you're feeling better, dear. Perhaps we could look in on them, just to see.
Perhaps. I'd like to see Loring's hospital.
I wish I felt more secure about Allison. Jim didn't say where he was when he called, did he, George?
No, Eleanor.
Was he drunk?
Yes, Eleanor, he was.
That goes without saying, though. Poor Allison. Poor, foolish Allison.
As Dr. Allison Shaw lied to Anthony Loring and young Widder Brown,